What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Welcome to the show. My name is Bo Matthews alongside the legendary Mark Cox. Legendary in his travels. You got to tell me about last weekend. Did you make all your travels just fine up to the camping, back to the concert, back up to camping, all that good stuff?
I was all over the place last weekend. Can I just tell you that? Drugged the camper up for the holiday weekend with the grandson. Went up to Mark Twain Lake. Stayed there in the on the north side of the lake in one of the campgrounds, and had a great time. And then the Saturday, got up and drove back. Took my grandson fishing, let him catch a couple of bluegill. He was on top of the world. He got to reel it in all by himself. It was fantastic. My wife got a great photo of him hugging me around the neck while I was baiting his hook. It was just great. So then we got up Saturday, and I brought him home because, of course, I had tickets to see the one and only Samuel Hagar. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. At Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
And the sold-out show.
It was sold out. They set a record, Bo. They set a record for attendance at Hollywood. They'd never had a crowd like that in all these years.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably Van Halen was as big as that one.
Might have been.
I think people were thinking like you are. It's like, okay, how many times can this guy come back through? How many times can these guys come back through?
I've seen him a number of times, and it was one of the best shows he's put on. He's 76. I'm sure I saw him when he was in his 50s and 60 years old. I mean, I've been watching him for a long time, and this was as energetic, and I mean, he hit the notes. He just did a great job, and then he had Joe Satriani playing the Eddie Van Halen guitar parts. And Satriani is a maestro. The guy just absolutely shredded that guitar. He did. It was mind-numbing to watch him on the screen. Now, I was in row S in the lower bowl, so we had really good seats. Mm-hmm. And I could see him clearly on the stage. Most people were probably watching him on the big screen, and it was just incredible. It was.
So does he like honor Eddie Van Halen and use his or what looks like his guitar?
No. I mean, he did at one point. He had a guitar that looked sort of like Frankenstrat, but he didn't really play much Van Halen on that one, which was interesting. It was an Eddie Van Halen guitar, but that's not the one he used to play most of the songs.
Sure.
He used his own guitar, and I thought he did a fantastic job of it. You know, they have a drummer who is the son of Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham.
Jason.
His name is Jason, and he's been drumming on this tour, and he had an emergency a week ago and had to go back to London, England to see his family. And they needed a fill-in drummer, so they called up Kenny Aronoff, who used to be the drummer for John Cougar Mellencamp, and he happened to be available, so he flew into Cincinnati, got there at 6 in the morning, and went on stage that night and played drums, and then he...
Flawlessly, by the way.
And then his tour here was the final one, so that was his fourth time playing with him, and he just crushed it. Kenny Aronoff,
that is so cool.
He didn't miss a beat, no pun intended.
Then Michael Anthony sang David Lee Roth songs.
Anthony sang some of the older, he chimed in and sang a few times. Maybe because Eddie can't,
Sammy
can't hit some of the high notes anymore, I don't know. But it was fantastic. Loverboy, let me tell you about Loverboy, Bo Matthews. I enjoyed Loverboy. I mean, and I was the height of their career was in the mid-80s, and I thought they were fantastic. They come out on the stage, and this guy walks out with a big old beer belly and a shock of white hair and a bandana on, and I'm like, who is this dude? There is no way that is the lead singer of Loverboy.
And it was Reno.
And it was Mike Reno. It looked like he'd been at the corner VFW pounding beers before he walked out on the stage. And his voice still sounded good. It's just,
isn't that crazy?
Look at a picture of what he used to look like. And then I'm thinking to myself, he's only 69. I looked it up. He's 6 years younger than Sammy Hagar. Hagar looks a million times better than Reno. It was pretty funny.
It is crazy to see these old guys still out on the road doing their things, sounding good. I think the first time I had like a visual shock was when I saw Bob Seger, you know, all white hair, yeah, mm-hmm, wearing, you know, senior citizen Velcro tennis shoes. He still brought it, but he had the Coke bottle glasses, and it was just like, he still brought it, but it was like, dang, dude, seriously?
Yeah,
I remember several years ago going to Kid Rock, and he was in his 40s at that point, and he goes, you know, when I made these songs and when I was, you know, in my 20s, I did not think I was going to still have to be out here performing it. He had to take a breath or two. But, you know, hats off to him, man. Seriously.
The guitarist for Loverboy is 78. So he's almost 10 years older than Reno. And he did a really good job. And there wasn't a lot of dancing around or anything up there. But he played the music beautifully. It was it's pretty amazing.
So I wasn't at the show, obviously. I didn't get the invite. Thanks. But did you? Can you give me a snapshot of the landscape of the audience? Was it all graybeards and older?
Yeah, for the most part. There were some younger. There were a few younger people there. I saw people with their kids there who they'd obviously grown up listening to Van Halen with their mom or dad and. Yeah. They were there, and you know, everybody was just having a really good time because Sammy loves St. Louis. I believe the folks over at Casey gave him some sort of an award or Live Nation
did that
for having sold out 20 concerts here over the years.
Yes,
yeah, huh.
And they named a street after him.
Yeah, they gave him a street sign that said Sammy Hagar Way. Nice. So he just loves St. Louis. He told a great story that when he was with Montrose. And they were driving around the country in one of those wood-paneled station wagons, the four members of Montrose doing gigs all over the country. As they were driving into St. Louis for a concert, he heard Space Station number 9 on the radio, Space Station number 5 on the radio. And it's the first time he'd ever heard his voice on the radio. It was on Casey.
Wow.
So he said, my love affair with St. Louis started at that moment back in the 70s with Montrose, and they were the ones that were giving us airtime. And he said, they've always played my music, and I've always appreciated it. And he just went on and on about it. So
that's outstanding, man. Well, I'm glad you got to go.
And then he went camping again.
Yeah, then you ran back up. How long is that drive up to the campground? A couple hours?
I had to go get my wife, right, because I had the truck and I had to tow the camper back. So it was 2 hours, roughly, to Mark
Twain.
That's
not bad.
Yeah.
Did you get to sleep at home or did you leave right after the show?
No. I slept here that night and then I got back up Sunday morning and drove up there. So
smart.
It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. You didn't want to be driving there 2 hours at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I would have been a little tired, yes.
Well, my road trip was a little further over Labor Day weekend. I went to Crockett, Texas, and about 5 miles outside of it, I thought to myself, gosh, I wonder if Crockett's named after Davy Crockett. I had the thought, and about a mile down the road, I see Davy Crockett National Forest. I'm like, oh, I was right.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. And the lore is that he stayed in that area one night. That's why they named the town after him. But anyway, I got to see my daughter and my granddaughters and their families, and man, we ate like kings. We didn't do much. We just hung out. But man, get out in the great outdoors. My daughter's setting is kind of a farm, kind of rural setting. So you enjoyed outdoors camping and Sammy Hagar concert. I enjoyed outdoors with my granddaughter, my 14-year-old granddaughter. She's one of two. There's twins. And she is a bad to the bone little girl.
She's the hunter, right?
No, the whole family hunts.
The whole family
My
hunts,
daughter,
all,
right. All the kids. Yeah, they brought in like 25 deer last year. So we get back from eating Mexican food at the restaurant. There's only one night I got to take them out. Not to bore you with the story, but my granddaughter, Jillian, she is as tough as she is sweet. And she wanted to show me how she can flip a tractor tire down the driveway. Mark, the driveway is 2/10 of a mile long.
Wow.
I got video to prove it. It was outstanding. What a great visit. And then we and I had never stayed in Texarkana, so that was kind of a bucket list check. And we stayed in Texarkana on the way down there, and just a great time. Family's so important, and we just really had a blast.
Well, I'm glad.
But, yeah. But you know what, though? We are on the heels of this latest high school shooting in Georgia. And let me tell you, I mean, you know, being at the football game with my granddaughters, they play in the band. The other granddaughter plays volleyball. You know, you look at the culture, you look at what's going on. Man, they do a great job putting out these big, you know, really serious football games where the kids run through the blow up thing, you know, for the team mascot. And then my heart just sank when I heard this story in Georgia. 14-year-old, 9:45 in the morning. And the one thing that stood out to me, and you know probably more than I do about this, is one of the girls that was talking about the shooting down there after it happened, of course, was that the classroom doors lock automatically. I had never heard that before. And so you have to get access to get back into the class. And this kid, 14 years old, left his algebra class at 9:45. And his classmate said the classroom door is locked. Did you know that? Which I think is a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. I did not know that.
But don't you get trapped in the hallway that way if you leave the class, if you're not in the classroom at the time?
Well, in this case, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Certainly for the classroom that he left. But, you know, we talk about resource officers and you know, with the availability. I just didn't know about that locking behind you once you leave to go to the restroom or whatever the case is.
I think it's a good idea. The sad thing is, once again, our politicians, the Kamala Harris, Corinne Jean-Pierre, Chris Murphy, all immediately ran to TV cameras as soon as they could and claimed it was a gun problem, another mass shooting. Why do we have to put up with this? Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Without knowing the facts that it was a 14-year-old kid who had been investigated when he was 13 for making a threat against his school. For some reason, his parents still let him get access to weapons despite this problem. So once again, you have a situation with clearly a family that's in denial about what's going on with their kid and then giving the kid access to guns. The kid couldn't buy the gun, so he had to get it from a parent. What will happen here? They said he'll be tried as an adult. Well, if it wasn't for the armed school resource officer, this could have been a lot worse. But a good guy with a gun took out the bad guy, stopped the shooting, and yet you've got Kamala Harris. I played the audio clip this week from 2019 of Kamala Harris stating very clearly that she wanted to stop the militarization of schools. And she felt that the militarization of schools was having school resource officers in the schools, that it somehow intimidates children. I don't know. Here's the sound. Listen to it.
Being incarcerated for a couple of days is traumatic, much less the weeks, months, and years that we're seeing that happen. And so part of my plan is also a reduction of that. And then also, again, what we need to do about taking demilitarizing our schools.
Wow.
And taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
Yeah. In Kamala Harris's America, there would be no school resource officers. Think about that.
So I was listening this week when you played this audio the first time, or at least I heard it the first time, and I was listening through Facebook on your video feed, and I saw one of the comments, Kamala, you go first. Get rid of your security force around you. And then we'll talk about the schools. And I thought that was a very it was a good idea. Let's try that first. What a mess.
Well,
what a mess.
Yeah, and you know, it's none of it's a surprise. But where was the ball dropped? Right. That's the question that has to be answered here. Well, we looked into this a year ago, and there was nothing we could do. Okay, you have somebody on your radar who has actually made a threat to shoot up a school, and 11 months later, he shot up a school. Clearly, the ball was dropped by somebody. The problem here is not the gun. The problem is the criminal, and they've got to get to the root of that problem. We saw it at the Gateway Visual and Performing Arts Center here in St. Louis. People knew this kid was a threat. The police had been out there to talk to him before. He had a diary claiming what he was going to do.
Right,
somebody knew, And yet there were no charges against anybody else in that case. So that's kind of where we are, I'm afraid. Speaking of which, you know that a judge overturned the SAPA law in Missouri, the Second Amendment Preservation Act. Coming up here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, we've got Jared Taylor, former state rep, who helped write that law, to kind of explain where things stand on that, Bo. And we'll be back with more Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors coming up. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here along with the Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman. And coming up in a few minutes, you know, it's something we don't talk about a lot as hunters, but then there's the health issue. Are you healthy enough to head into the woods this year? We're going to talk to a nurse about warning signs you need to look for coming up in just a minute. But first, I want to concentrate on what happened with the SAPA ruling in court. We talked to Jared Taylor with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. This is what you're facing in America right now, a court system with judges who don't like the Second Amendment. They don't like it at all. And other than the Supreme Court, many of them fight against it all the time. In other words, a local court, I shouldn't say local, an appeals court recently struck down the Second Amendment Preservation Act, ruled that it's unconstitutional, claiming that it nullified federal gun law. I don't agree with that at all. And we've got former Missouri Representative Jared Taylor on the phone this morning, who used to serve in Missouri's 139th district. And we reached out to him because he's one of the ones that helped craft this to begin with. Jared, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. So,
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. The federal judge struck down what I believe it's the Missouri Independent quoted as a controversial Missouri law that penalizes police for enforcing federal gun laws. Well, that's what SAPA was designed to do, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why the Biden DOJ sued us, because even they claim in their court filings that it prohibited them from working with Missouri law enforcement. Well, that's exactly what we designed it to do. It was doing exactly what we wanted.
Well, that's the whole thing. I'd love to maybe get you to comment on that a little bit. As I understood SAPA, the point was, if under Joe Biden administration, or heaven forbid, a Kamala Harris administration, she decides to come into the state of Missouri and force some sort of a gun buyback program, the point is local law enforcement in Missouri is not going to be able to participate in that. They're not federal law enforcement officers. How can the federal government force them to take part in that?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we have a longstanding decision by the court, this principle known as anti-commandeering. And the courts have upheld that numerous times, saying that states cannot be commandeered or forced to enforce federal law. And Missourians rightfully so believe in our Second Amendment. And so this ruling by this appeals court, this three panel judge, it wasn't surprising. We were prepared for that decision. And so we have a couple options now. We could either go before the full eight panel judge, or we could go straight to the Supreme Court. So that's kind of what we're weighing our options right now. I think in the next couple weeks, you'll see a decision come out of the Attorney General's office, who Missouri Firearms Coalition has been working one-on-one with and crafting, like, how we're going to move forward. And so, you know, I'd say definitely be looking forward to that. This isn't the end of the battle for the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Good, because we had the Attorney General on last week here, and he was talking about the fact that this is not a Second Amendment issue. It's a Tenth Amendment issue. Right.
Yeah. Because, again, anti-commandeering, we don't want the feds coming in telling Missouri law enforcement to, hey, you know what? I mean, we've got a presidential candidate in Kamala who's telling us that if the.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congress doesn't act within the first, 90 days is what she gave him or something like that, that she's going to come in with an executive order banning AR-15s, not just like we're going to stop selling them or, you know, which would be atrocious as it is. But she wants to completely ban them and have them removed from the country. I don't know about you, but I don't want Missouri law enforcement participating in something like that. One, for their safety, but two, just because that's a bad idea. You know, it's the most popular weapon in the United States, and she's wanting to get rid of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I've got a number of friends who are police chiefs. What is that, Carl? Sorry, you scared me. I got a number of friends who are police chiefs, and I've talked to them about this, and a lot of them were upset over SAPA when it first passed because they were concerned that, you know, if they had officers who were on loan to some federal department, they were going to have to stop doing that, and they were all worried about being fined $50,000 per incident or whatever the fine was that was thrown in there. Mm-hmm. And I said at the time, that's not what the law is about. It's not about coming after your department because one of your officers happens to be on loan to, you name the DEA or whatever the federal agency happens to be. This is about making sure that your department is not encroaching on the Second Amendment rights of Missouri citizens. Can you think of a single incident, Jared, where a department was fined or this law was used like that since it's been in effect?
No. So, in fact, I think that I know of at least one lawsuit that was brought against a department, and the judge threw it out because it didn't apply. The guy was a previous convicted felon, and there are exemptions in the law that allow law enforcement to still work with their federal partners on drug cases, on human trafficking, on bank robberies, like all murder cases. So all of these exemptions exist in the law to allow them to continue to work with them. And you're right, there was a knee-jerk reaction from law enforcement at the beginning when SAPA first passed because they didn't understand it. They didn't know what it did. We heard from a ton of law enforcement, men and women on the street who are like, oh, we love this. This is exactly what we want. I mean, those guys are Second Amendment, you know, those men and women are Second Amendment advocates. They've got exact same things that we have at home for their personal defense as well. And so, you know, they pulled out of those task forces. And then once they started realizing, oh, this isn't doing what we thought it was going to do, or the hype about what it was going to do, the left was claiming that it was going to do, and they started working with their federal partners again, and it really wasn't that big of a deal, and it wasn't that big of a change until we have a president who's going to go after an AR-15 or a bump stock ban or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's true, and we're waiting for it because Kamala Harris has not changed her stripes despite what she's leading us to believe right now.
No, she can avoid the media all she wants, but we've got enough, of her sound clips from the last couple years to use against her, especially on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, very true. Well, I'll tell you what, Jared Taylor, we appreciate your time, and please keep us updated for the Missouri Firearms Coalition and what they're doing about this. We appreciate it.
Will do. Thank you.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Thank you for giving us some time today. You know, I know hunting season is just around the corner for a lot of us who like to get out, even if we're not the best hunters in the world. But it involves physical exertion. And there's a little bit of a heart health warning for you hunters out there. We have Lorinda Harjai with us, who is a cardiology provider at OSF Healthcare. And Lorinda, welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great. You know, I'm as guilty of it as anyone. I plan my deer hunts when I'm going to go out, and normally it involves hiking through dark woods at 4 a.m. with heavy gear on and boots and all that.
And beer.
I've never, not beer when I'm hunting, Carl, but I've never given a lot of thought to the health risk of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, I have quite a few years experience in cardiology, and I come from a long line of hunters in my family. And I can tell you that in many occasions during hunting season, working in the cardiac cath lab, we would always you know, make a comment like someone's going to come in with a heart attack. You know, hunting season started this week. So as a part of, you know, year round awareness, heart awareness, we know February's Heart Health Month. But I think every month we could focus on something within, you know, heart health. And so for me, I wanted to kind of talk more to the community about to hunters that, hey, if you have a sedentary lifestyle between hunting seasons, you have risk factors such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking, maybe get out there and start getting a little more physical activity prior to hunting season and seeing a provider to make sure that on that hunting day when your heart rate's up, the excitement of the hunt, like you said, you're trudging out into the woods, you get that 10-point buck and you're like going to drag it back and show your friends, you know, that could be a recipe for a cardiac event.
Or back problems, right?
True.
Yeah. So the physical exertion that you talked about, Lorinda, you know, a hunter has to drag that animal at least to a side-by-side or something to get it moved. So Mark really doesn't have to worry about any of this for himself. But this also pertains to like golfers too, because golfers sit, you know, sit in an office or sit in a studio like Mark does and then goes out and exerts himself. So some of the same principles, would you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think of the couch to 5K. A lot of people talk about that. You don't just get off the couch and go run, you know, a 5K race. You build up over time. And so it's the same concept for anybody who might be physically inactive and have those risk factors, getting checked out, starting that physical activity little by little each day, several weeks in advance. Because the comment, you know, that I like to tell people is we do stress tests on the heart all the time. And actually going out early in the morning, trudging into the cold, climbing up in a tree stand and dragging out a deer is actually much more physically active than a stress test we would do in the hospital.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little different than being on the treadmill. I've done one of those before. That's probably not something most people think about unless they have a problem. So maybe what are some of the warning signs you tell people to look for that it may be time to talk to a cardiologist or their family doctor about that?
Yeah, so knowing, again, the risk factors. So if you have those risk factors such as high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, but then if you start that physical activity and realize, you know, last year I was able to go out and hike a couple of miles up a light incline and I felt good. But this year I'm extremely fatigued. I'm extremely short of breath. Maybe I have a little chest discomfort. It's time to be seen.
Well, my question would be, if something like that happens in the woods or on the golf course or shoveling snow, what can you do to help yourself, if anything?
So being prepared, going out into the woods, some things I like to talk about is taking baby aspirin with you. So you start having those symptoms of chest discomfort, increased shortness of breath, take 4 baby aspirin, don't hunt alone, have a way to contact somebody. And if you're dragging out that deer and having symptoms, stop, get help, and know where your local hospital is. A lot of people hunt out of town. So, you know, if you're hunting out of town and you do have symptoms or have a known coronary artery disease, know where that local hospital is where you can get help.
Yeah. Lorinda Harjai is a guest right now, cardiology provider with OSF. And I have to ask, so there's an running joke on this show that Mark is an Indian word for bad hunter, because I'll often go deer hunting and not come back with anything, right? So I have heard of this thing called buck fever, where you're in the stand and you start getting... your heart rate is up because you see one off in the distance, and you have to be able to differentiate that feeling from when there's actually a problem. So maybe it would be a good time to talk about what some of those symptoms are if you're potentially having a heart attack. It's a numbness in the arm and things like that, right?
Correct. So it would be the chest pain, chest heaviness, but if it radiates to the arms and shoulders, heaviness in arms and shoulders, maybe radiating to the back or jaw, nausea, that would come with the excitement of it that wouldn't go away, increased shortness of breath, jaw pain, breaking out into a sweat. And so, yes, there's buck fever in that excitement.
Yeah.
But if the excitement goes away, the buck runs off, and you're still experiencing those symptoms, you need to pay attention to that.
That's a good point. Do you hear that, Bo? Anything Bo needs to watch out for? Bo likes to get in his hot tub every morning when he listens to our radio show. So that you should probably, that's exert. You have to exert yourself to do that. So no, we need Lorinda's advice on that.
I'm totally chill. I took my blood pressure the other day, and it was like 117 over 81. So I'm good, Mark.
Okay.
I'm good.
Beautiful. I'm just worried about him, right? That's my friend.
If you are a hunter and you may not go to like a physical once a year, is there a place where you can go just to get a heart test? You know, or I guess a physical would encompass that, but that's usually just basic vitals, right?
Yeah, just, you know, seeing your primary care provider, it's very important, you know, just to get simple screening, EKG, blood pressure, cholesterol checked, so you are aware of the risk factors that you may have, and then can discuss those symptoms and talk about increasing physical activity in a safe way. And then, you know, if you start experiencing symptoms with increased physical activity, then the next step would be you would probably see someone like myself in a cardiology clinic.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about OSF. You're through St. Anthony, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes. Yeah, so we have a very busy cardiology practice over there. I work for OSF St. Anthony. We collaborate with St. Louis University Cardiology. We have a brand new state-of-the-art cath lab there, so we provide a lot of services over there on that side of the river, including stress tests, heart catheterizations, outpatient clinic, and then inpatient cardiology care.
Good.
Is AI involved in what you're doing right now, Lorinda?
So not for what I'm doing, but AI is definitely going to play a part in a lot of medicine in the future. It is in some aspects of maybe cardiology and development of things of such as, example, heart failure, where we're going to be able to tell when patients are having symptoms and starting to decline before they even show up in an emergency room. Yeah. So that's around the corner.
Yeah, good. Okay. That's a good thing to look forward to. Well, Lorinda, thank you so much for your expertise on this. And it's a good reminder for those of us who are couch potatoes for part of the year and weekend warriors start coming in fall, right?
Yeah, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. We appreciate having you in. Lorinda Harjai there with OSF Healthcare, part of St. Anthony's. And we'll be back with more.
Yeah, this segment has been brought to you by Razorback Armory. Go to RazorbackArmory.com to find out more. More of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors is next.
Life is always better with a little Van Halen. Thank you, Carl Middleman. We appreciate that.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Great event coming up on September 14th next weekend, and we want to remind you of it. Our friend Phil Balsamo joining us from the Range St. Louis West this morning. And Phil, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. Looking forward to seeing you on the 14th. That is when the Range will be holding its Customer Appreciation Day again, and quite a lot to celebrate this year, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's just like every year, we have such an awesome group of members and customers, and this is just our way of trying to give back a little bit and have some fun and have some great deals and have a good time.
Yeah, no kidding. Is this 9 years? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy to even think about it. It really is. But yeah, 9 years.
Wow, that's great. So just to set this up for people a little bit, this gets set up in the parking lot there at the Range, 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin, right next to Velasquez Park. It kind of occupies most of the parking lot with tents. And you even got like what, a jumping pit for the kids this year? Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the we actually might have the ball pit. I think you're right about
that. Yeah.
The fun thing for me is I get to sit in the dunk tank most of the day. So, but we've got all sorts of games and fun stuff for people to do outside and cooking some food. And then we've got all the goodies inside for good deals and reps and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Phil,
go ahead.
Why you, Phil? Why you in the dunk tank? That's not right.
We alternate between myself and Elizabeth. I think that people just like to pick on us a little bit. We get to pick on our students and have some fun in classes. So I think this gives them the opportunity to come up and get some retribution on us.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. I've always wondered why John Henderson, the proprietor, is not subjected to that, but I guess because he's the boss, right?
He has people for that.
That's probably the biggest reason. Yeah.
I'm sure it is. I know, you know, last year I'll be there, by the way. I should mention I'm going to be out at the range that day. We'll have a table set up inside the store.
In the dunk
because,
tank?
No, because I demanded air conditioning because I'm a prima donna. They were trying to put me on the parking lot. I said, no, I need air conditioning. That's not true. Charles is just being nice to me, and he's going to give me a spot inside. So we'll have some 97.1 swag out there for people to pick up, and it's going to be a fantastic time. What I really enjoyed last year is you always get somebody from Gun Owners of America to show up, and that is educational. People can go into the classroom listen to what they've got going on.
Yep. So GOA will be out here. Gun Owners of America will be out here again this year. Alex Shea and I'm sure a couple others from GOA will be here. And if you're unfamiliar with GOA, look them up, understand what they're about. And they are definitely huge proponents of protecting our Second Amendment rights. And Alex by himself is worth showing up for.
Yes.
Not just for what he has to say, but it's how he says it and the passion he has for what he does. He's such an awesome individual, and it's a great organization.
He's a human force is what he is. So
he is, for sure.
Entertaining. Wears a big American flag shirt, and you can smell the patriotism coming off this guy. It's fantastic.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. So that's one of the things. You have that opportunity to do that. You also use this as a way to help a local food bank. We're doing that again this year?
Yes, sir. Yeah, for Forces for Food, we collect donations for them all year long. We're one of their drop-off points. But during customer appreciation and a couple other times a year, we try for a big drive to really get non-perishable food and household items brought in. And on events like this, we give away raffle tickets, and those raffle tickets can be used to win some super awesome prize. So it's a worthwhile cause to bring in food or non-perishable household items, even without the chance of having to win something. But that's just an extra bonus. That you might actually win something cool.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Now, last year they were raffling off a handgun, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're doing another handgun this year, and we might have some other stuff in there as well.
Well, outstanding. I hope people can show up again. The range, if you've never been out there, shame on you. But it's 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin, a beautiful facility. I mean, honestly, how big of a deal is it, Phil, that you guys got the National Sports Shooting Foundation 5-star rating?
It's a pretty big deal. It really is. To those outside the industry, it might not seem like much, but it's a big deal. There's a very small percentage of ranges that earn that. They have pretty strict criteria, and we got audited several times during the process. It's a big deal. It's something we're very proud of.
Well, you should be, Phil, and congratulations on that. You know, the one thing that anybody that I talk to about firearms and training, most people, I would say, get the basic training so they can get their CCW certification. But man, oh man, it's so crazy how much more extensive the training you have. And I encourage anybody to look into it. They've got so much of the intermediate pistol, women's basic handgun skills, red dot concepts. And I mention these things because years and years ago, I've been riding motorcycles and two wheels since I was like 4 years old. And I did a thing with Doc's Harley Davidson. They said, hey, go out to our advanced motorcycle course. And I was like, why would I do that? And it was like you do, Mark. You're promoting what they do.
Yeah.
Dude, I had been riding all my life and I learned so much stuff that it's like, don't think you know everything. If you went and got your basic, training done, dig in. You enjoy this. If you're going to be a pilot, you're not going to just take the introductory class and then never go back. You want to go back and learn more. And so talk about that. And will people be able to find out more about those classes on this day that you guys are celebrating?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point of training and not knowing what you don't know. And we find that a lot. I give an example a lot of myself, similar situation for motorcycles. I did the same thing with motorcycles for a long time. One of my other hobbies is riding bicycles. I still take classes on bike riding for different skills and such. The firearm is no different than anything else. It's a perishable skill. If you don't continue trying to learn with it, you're going to regress. We're going to have some free classes going on that day alongside of Alex and GOA. We'll be doing something on firearm safety in the home. We've got Rob Morton coming out for a tourniquet application, and we'll have people all around that can answer all the questions about different classes that we offer and skills you can learn and all that good stuff.
That's fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Phil, listen, we appreciate your time, my friend. I hope people will show up on the 14th next Saturday for Customer Appreciation Day. What time do things get started? Is it 9?
Right at 9 o'clock. Yeah. We open at 9 o'clock, and we'll be ready to party.
And I'm looking forward to partying with you. That'll be fantastic. Phil, appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Anytime. You have a great day, guys.
You bet. Phil Balsamo, one of the training managers out there at the Range, St. Louis West, therangestl.com, if you want to go on and find out more about it. They help me every year, Bo, with my first responder Thanksgiving, my ATF raffle. They always provide a gun, and they handle people buying the tickets. And, I mean, I just can't say enough about what they do. So.
Yeah, like I said, the classes that they offer is just so extensive. And, dude, if this is what if you're into bowling, you're going to bowl and you're going to learn as much as you can. If you're into guns, go check it out. There's, you know, it's like advanced courses and stuff. But anyway, all right. Well, wow, is that a show? That's
it
a
is.
Show.
It is, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Big show.
Enjoy the beautiful weekend. And make sure if you're listening and you like the show to share it with your friends. Hey, do you listen to 2A Radio? And also, are you going to vote on 11/5?
That's a great
remind people.
Point. Yeah, no kidding. Lots and lots of stuff to cover. We'll see you next weekend. Have a great one on Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors.
See you, boys.
And I'm sure a couple others from GOA will be here. And if you're unfamiliar with GOA, look them up, understand what they're about. And they are definitely huge proponents of protecting our Second Amendment rights. And Alex by himself is worth showing up for.
Yes.
Not just for what he has to say, but it's how he says it and the passion he has for what he does. He's such an awesome individual, and it's a great organization.
He's a human force is what he is. So.
Oh, he is, for sure.
Entertaining. For usually wears a big American flag shirt, and you can smell the patriotism coming off this guy. It's fantastic.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. So that's one of the things. You have that opportunity to do that. You also use this as a way to help a local food bank. We're doing that again this year?
Yes, sir. Yeah, for Forces for Food, we collect donations for them all year long. We're one of their drop-off points. But during customer appreciation and a couple other times a year, we try for a big drive to really get non-perishable food and household items brought in. And on events like this, we give away raffle tickets, and those raffle tickets can be used to win some super awesome prize. So it's a worthwhile cause to bring in food or non-perishable household items, even without the chance of having to win something. But that's just an extra bonus. That you might actually win something cool.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Now, last year they were raffling off a handgun, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're doing another handgun this year, and we might have some other stuff in there as well.
Well, outstanding. I hope people can show up again. The Range, if you've never been out there, shame on you. But it's 14803 Manchester Road in Baldwin, a beautiful facility. I mean, honestly, how big of a deal is it, Phil, that you guys got the National Sports Shooting Foundation 5-star rating?
It's a pretty big deal. It really is. To those outside the industry, it might not seem like much, but it's a big deal. There's a very small percentage of ranges that earn that. They have pretty strict criteria, and we got audited several times during the process. It's a big deal. It's something we're very proud of.
Well, you should be, Phil, and congratulations on that. You know, the one thing that anybody that I talk to about firearms and training, most people, I would say, get the basic training so they can get their CCW certification. But man, oh man, it's so crazy how much more extensive the training you have. And I encourage anybody to look into it. They've got so much of the intermediate pistol, women's basic handgun skills, red dot concepts. And I mention these things because years and years ago. I've been riding motorcycles and two wheels since I was like 4 years old. And I did a thing with Doc's Harley Davidson. They said, hey, go out to our advanced motorcycle course. And I was like, why would I do that? And it was like you do, Mark. You're promoting what they do.
Yeah.
Dude, I had been riding all my life and I learned so much stuff. That it's like, don't think you know everything. If you went and got your basic, training done, dig in. You enjoy this. If you're going to be a pilot, you're not going to just take the introductory class and then never go back. You want to go back and learn more. And so talk about that. And will people be able to find out more about those classes on this day that you guys are celebrating?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point of training and not knowing what you don't know. And we find that a lot. I give an example, a lot of myself, similar situation for motorcycles. I did the same thing with motorcycles for a long time. One of my other hobbies is riding bicycles. I still take classes on bike riding for different skills and such. The firearm is no different than anything else. It's a perishable skill. If you don't continue trying to learn with it, you're going to regress. We're going to have some free classes going on that day alongside of Alex and GOA. We'll be doing something on firearm safety in the home. We've got Rob Morton coming out for a tourniquet application. And we'll have people all around that can answer all the questions about different classes that we offer and skills you can learn and all that good stuff.
That's fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, Phil, listen, we appreciate your time, my friend. I hope people will show up on the 14th next Saturday for Customer Appreciation Day. What time do things get started? Is it 9?
Right at 9 o'clock. Yeah. We open at 9 o'clock, and we'll be ready to party.
And I'm looking forward to partying with you. That'll be fantastic. Phil, appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Anytime. You have a great day, guys.
You bet. Phil Balsamo, one of the training managers out there at the Range St. Louis West, therangestl.com, if you want to go on and find out more about it. They help me every year, Bo, with my first responder Thanksgiving, my ATF raffle. They always provide a gun, and they handle people buying the tickets. And, I mean, I just can't say enough about what they do. So.
Yeah, like I said, the classes that they offer is just so extensive. And, dude, if this is what if you're into bowling, you're going to bowl and you're going to learn as much as you can. If you're into guns, go check it out. There's, it's like advanced courses and stuff. But anyway, all right. Well, wow, is that a show? That's
it
a
is.
Show.
It is, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Big show.
Enjoy the beautiful weekend. And make sure, if you're listening and you like the show, to share it with your friends. Hey, do you listen to 2A Radio? And also, are you going to vote on 11/5?
That's a great
remind people.
Point. Yeah, no kidding. Lots and lots of stuff to cover. We'll see you next weekend. Have a great one on Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors.
See you, boys.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.